I'm Gavin Gear.
I'm Larry Larson.
And welcome to the IoT Show January Recap.
Yeah, and so today we want to talk about CES and some of the things that we saw at CES. Of course, we want to hear from you, what devices you saw from CES that you're interested in. And what was the theme this year?
So there was a lot of activity and action around wearables. And I just got a band, so I'm totally excited to start playing around with that.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, we said in the last show, we're going to get the band team on the show, talk about the hardware, talk about the software and the cloud integration. Another trend, automotive, you know, a lot of really sexy high-end automobiles from the likes of Mercedes and Audi. One of the trends that we're continuing to see is this whole sort of autonomous driving feature, which kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure about it. I really like to drive. Like, I like manual transmission. You know, I'm not sure I'm ready for autonomous car.
I'm totally ready. I want the autonomous car, and I want the first one to be Knight Rider. So, I want a version of Knight Rider that talks to me and drives me around.
Yeah.
So, it's been a lifelong dream.
I don't know. I'll have to see how it works.
And then another hot topic this year was screens and displays, and they have a way now that you can make whatever shape, size screen that you want. So that should be interesting, especially for cars. You can have one that's custom fit for your dashboard.
Yeah, Sharp showed a bunch of freeform display stuff, and freeform displays basically are displays where you can cut an arbitrary shape out of the glass, and then you know, they're really, really high quality visuals, high contrast. You know, you can layer a touch surface over the top. So, you know, automotive instrumentation was one of the things that Sharp showed. And you can only imagine with IoT devices, you know, the kind of creativity that people are going to have. You know, we saw Nest with the circular display.
Yeah.
That's maybe like a small preview of the kind of things that people are going to build. And it's really cool, the idea of just sort of ambient displays everywhere, in the car or around the home or whatever.
And another new technology, well, it's not new, they showed it last year, but curved displays.
Yeah.
So that's another one that we had a discussion before the show, which
do either of us
like curved displays?
2 years ago, it was all about 3D, right?
Yeah.
And we know what happened with that. Last year, it was about mainstream 4K, you know, 4K product portfolio filled out across the board, price points coming down. I have a Seekey 50-inch 4K TV that I paid $800 for.
Yeah.
You know, and it actually makes a really great PC display.
Yeah.
It's like having four 1080p displays. The curved display thing, I'm still, it's another thing I'm wondering about. Is it going to be a trend?
Yeah.
I think maybe we should, you know, put a little wager on 2 years from now whether or not that's still a trend for TVs.
Now, I can see some places where curved displays make sense, like in the car, where you're close to a monitor, like on your desk. That would be nice.
Yeah, fixed viewing distance.
For my living room, I don't know. I'm not sold on curved displays yet.
Yeah.
So, to be determined.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to see more of them and, you know, play around with it a little bit. But, speaking of immersive experiences, another major theme from CES 2015, virtual reality.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
Like, back at PAX, I got a preview of the 1080p device before they came out with it. I played with the V1 dev kit. Last year at CES, I got a little, you know, private demo of the Crystal Cove with the advanced head tracking. And I couldn't believe, you know, if you look at, you know, just two iterations of of refinement on that, how much of an advancement, you know, there was. This year, of course, the theme was they added the whole 3D sound experience into that, where, you know, they still know the exact orientation of your head and where you're looking at and where you're at in this 3D environment, and 3D sound just brings, you know, immersion to the next level.
So spatial audio would be awesome. I mean, with my DK1, I was playing some of the games. I mean, they're built to scare you, like, you know, you see a spider crawling up your hand or something. When you add in a spatial audio to that, I can see that really taking the experience even further and making it seem like you're right there.
I'm thinking about the flying experience, right?
Oh, yeah,
something like a helicopter flying game or a flight sim type experience, because, you know, I'm kind of a simulator guy, you know. I really like the idea of flying a 747 or fighter jet or whatever. So I'm eagerly anticipating know, the kinds of experiences that will enable. And then, you know, it's also interesting to think about, what about virtual reality plus IoT? right? If all of the things around you are connected, what if you were able to bring more of that into the environment? Like they showed the lightsaber game and the hand tracking this year, that was kind of a thing. But imagine the things that are around you and objects that are connected either to the cloud or on a proximal network being sucked into the game experience or simulation experience. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty cool.
Another subject that was big this year is just like home devices, some of the mm-hmm. smart devices that you'd typically expect to be in your home, like your thermostat and things like that. Something that I've seen a lot more of this year is the concept of using a light bulb fixture as a power device. So mm-hmm. usually, like if you went and put a security cam someplace, you'd have to think about, well, how do I get power to it? And that would help dictate where you're going to place that camera.
Yeah.
But now you can just screw in a light bulb into a fixture that has a camera built into it, so it makes it a little bit easier, and then it uses Wi-Fi to get the signal from the camera to mm-hmm. your other devices. So that's interesting. And another one that I've seen this year using light fixtures is for Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah.
So put a speaker wherever you need it, and it's constantly powered and hooked up to your device.
Yeah, hopefully the barrier to entry for the smart home becomes less and less of a problem, right? And then interoperability. It's interesting. This year, you know, vendors like, or retailers like Lowe's were showing Iris, and they had this huge demo showcase. Mm-hmm. And it just demonstrates how these retailers are thinking more end-to-end and building their own products.
Yeah.
Samsung acquired SmartThings this year, as we mentioned on the last recap show. And they had a huge booth and showed some of their new products. And again, addressing practical problems. We talked about the barrier to entry. There's also, you know, this dependency on the cloud. The initial SmartThings implementation was entirely, you know, cloud-centric. So if you didn't have internet connection or whatever, you know, none of your connected home experiences would work. Now with their new hub that they just announced, that'll be available April this year, they've got sort of an offline mode. So it's kind of the best of both worlds, where you're cloud connected, but then things have a better like real-time response. Things can work if the power's out. I don't know what things would be powered up, but you know, at least you have at least partial functionality.
So another device that I saw this year was a HVAC vent. Mm-hmm. So you could control the heat and the air in a room without having to climb up on a ladder, which is something that I do in my office quite a bit, so I would love that.
Yep.
And then what else did we see?
Well, I actually like that idea as well, because, you know, those smart dampers that you would install in your HVAC system are expensive mm-hmm. and, you know, again, barrier to entry. Really complicated. You probably have to have a technician out to do that. With the smart vent, you know, I love the idea of saving money and maximizing comfort, and drop it in and go kind of mm-hmm. a thing. So I definitely want that as well. Another interesting statement I thought was impactful was Samsung CEO said by 2017, 70% of all Samsung products will be connected IoT devices, essentially. Yeah. And by 2020, 100% of those devices will be connected. So I think that's just one indicator of a larger trend that we're seeing with the smart home and with IoT devices across the board, is these devices are just going to be connected. And it's now a matter of the interoperability and the management and all that. So it's definitely a really exciting time, you know, in connected home and whatever.
One of the interesting products that was shown at CES this year is Arcos, a company that I love. They've just done some really interesting things over the years. They created a device that will allow you to take your large format phone, Android, iPhone, Windows phone, and snap it into this device so you can use it for VR. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how you can use that with whatever platform that you want to have a VR experience off your mm-hmm. portable phone.
That is really cool. I even saw on Thingiverse a sort of 3D print your own VR headset kind of a thing. And I don't know what you do for lenses or whatever, but maybe I'll follow up and print my own and try it with my phone.
Yeah, print some. Let's try that out.
So speaking of 3D printing, you know, that is, again, year after year, one of the biggest technology trends at CES. And, you know, more and more of the printers are cloud connected and enabled. Mm-hmm. I know that we have a cloud repair service. We have a buy a print online through Cubify with our 3D Builder app.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't necessarily have to have a 3D printer, which is really cool. But I'm also really intrigued by the material science aspect of this. Mm-hmm. You know, MakerBot showed PLA composites, so that now you can have like wood and metal and stone, and so there's all sorts of stuff that people are doing with filament, which I just can't wait to try, because, you know, PLA is great, but it also has its downsides, either whether it's the appearance or the material properties. You know, MakerBot, I think it was last year, showed flexible filament, which is another really cool idea if you need something that's going to bend and conform a little bit.
Yeah, and one of the devices that I saw this year was a 3D printer that'll print electrical circuits. Mm-hmm. So it would allow rapid prototyping in the home or in a small office where you can just print out the electrical board that you need, and it'll take you another step further towards building whatever home projects you have to build.
Speaking of building home projects, you know, this the sort of maker space is really getting a lot more affordable in terms of these dev kits. You know, Raspberry Pi V1, full embedded platform with GPU, $35, you know, and it's, that's been something that's been available for years now. Rockchip this year showed a fully functional embedded platform, $10, running Android 4. So you can only imagine, you know, in the next couple of years, these really powerful embedded devices are going to get more and more ubiquitous, and I just can't wait to see what people are going to build on that. Consumer IoT, definitely really exciting at CES this year. I'd like to next talk with Vikram Kampur from the IoT team so that we can learn a little bit more about industry trends and silicon adoption, enterprise IoT stuff.
Let's hear from Vikram.
Awesome. Well, Vikram, thanks for coming by. Thanks for joining us here on the IoT show.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about what you do on the IoT team.
So I run the developer programs for IoT team. That includes, you know, delivering content, delivering SDKs, delivering programs where we are reaching out to a gamut of audience, including makers, developers which are non-Microsoft developers that do traditional Win32.NET type of programming, enterprise developers, OEM developers. But where we are putting our energy is really going after makers.
And what did you see at CES 2015, and who did you talk to? What was interesting about this year's event?
Well, this year was very unique. And what made it unique was the presence of just a very huge number of startups. In the Tech West section of CES, on the second floor, they had a dedicated section called the Eureka Park, just for startups.
Wow.
And that's where I kind of spent most of my time looking at what these startups are building in the IoT space, and what kind of enablers they are providing for IoT to grow as a whole in the industry.
And how do startups start up? I mean, there's Kickstarter, there's Indiegogo, you know, are there other ways that folks are bringing these IoT solutions up?
Great question. You know, there are several ways, but what we have seen typically what's happening in the IoT space, because usually hardware device is involved, you know, a couple of guys come up with a great idea that they found. They go prototype that using an Arduino typically, or a Raspberry Pi.
Yep.
If they are doing hardware prototyping, they'll probably do that with an Arduino board. And then if they have to do some software prototyping, they'll pick up some flavor of Android, some flavor of Linux, and start doing their prototype. When they get to a prototype sort of stage, their next step is to go for funding. These days, you are seeing a lot of people go direct on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, because that also gives them customer validation.
Yep.
And at that point, you know, if they get successfully funded, which is not happening to everyone, unfortunately, you know, because you got to have a good idea, good product, good marketing.
Yep.
They then go to a hardware accelerator. You've seen accelerators like Hackcelerator, Bolt, Highway One, which are really helping these startups graduate to the next stage. Specifically, you know, I met Hackcelerator. I met Cyril from this accelerator. The interesting model they have is it's not here in the US. When they select their startups, they take them straight to Shenzhen for 3 months.
Wow.
And they sit in Shenzhen with the manufacturing guys on the factory line, and they work backwards. Like, here's the product we want to build.
Wow.
And here are the things we're going to do. So they bypass a lot of steps, which typically a hardware startup would do, and they shrink the whole, you know, development process from 1 year to 3 months, which was kind of an eye-opening for me, right? Like, taking the guy straight to the manufacturing line and producing 100,000 of that.
Wow, that's a really rubber meets the road kind of approach.
Absolutely.
I like that. That sounds like a lot of fun too.
Absolutely.
Wow. So what are some of the key challenges that these emerging startups are going to be facing?
Great question. You know, so I met quite a few of these startups, and everybody is building a connected device of some sort, you know, a connected aquarium, a connected heater, a connected wearable. Probably saw, you know, 100 of wearable devices over there. And a lot of these guys spend, you know, most of their time building the hardware because it's very time and capital intensive. So mm-hmm. they spend a lot of time. But once the hardware is ready, everyone runs into the same struggle, which is how do we get data out of the hardware? How do we build the software tools to build these things? And how do we build a cloud platform to actually mine the data coming out of the hardware? The value is really in the data because the hardware margins are going to be low. The value lies in the software data and the analytics that come out. And what we have seen is everyone sort of starts building a cloud of their own in some flavor. And they all struggle with that.
Because a bit of a reinventing of the wheel kind of a thing?
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's a lot of opportunity for a platform provider. It could be a startup, it could be an established company, to really build a cloud platform that allows them to rapidly build the software on the hardware, you know, build the tools to get the data from the hardware, and then also a platform where they can leverage the analytics and tools to create intelligence coming out of this data.
Yeah. And a layer of security, right? Security is one of the absolute biggest challenges in IoT.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if people, what's coming up? And where can people get more information about the solutions that we're building out or that other people are building out?
So I'll mention, talk about a few companies that I found interesting in this space. You talked about security, you talked about cloud platform, and also hardware. So I'll talk about some platform companies that really impressed me.
Cool.
So let's start with the hardware and then we'll make our way up to the cloud.
Okay, sure.
So on the hardware side, one of the really interesting companies I saw was Spark.io. So Spark.io is their website. And they make this little tiny chip based, it's called Spark Core. And they introduced another core called Photon on Kickstarter. So Spark Core is a TI-based little microcontroller module. It has Wi-Fi and it has some microcontroller compute on the board. And the idea is it rapidly allows you to connect a thing with the internet. They give you pretty rock solid tools. So it's not just a hardware, it's also tools. And I think they're making a lot of investment in the cloud space. So they're trying to like complete the whole IoT end-to-end equation. They have about 10,000 developers in the works right now, which is really impressive. I got to meet a couple of their startups. So this was like startups of startups, right? That was really impressive. So a company to watch out would be Spark.io. They're doing some amazing stuff in the hardware enablement. Then when you look at the cloud part, you know, there's a company called Buddy.com. They are based here in Seattle. They started off as an app company, and they started building a cloud for app developers, and then it was very easy for them to kind of transition their assets into IoT space. So they are doing some very amazing stuff where they provide an Azure-based cloud for startups, established companies to go, you know, leverage the cloud for data analytics. So those were the two very interesting companies, as I mentioned, in terms of accelerators. Hackcelerator in Shenzhen is really interesting. Their model is, you know, to work in Shenzhen and make it really fast for developers to get to the final product. Let's see, who else?
Speaking of IoT accelerators, I had the opportunity to talk to some of the folks that are working with Microsoft Ventures. So be sure to catch that video here on the IoT show.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah, really exciting. I mean, people, the fact that you can take an idea and bring it to a fully featured and funded product end to end, it's great that these accelerators exist, you know.
Yeah, and so going back, thanks for mentioning that, because the company in security is called Red Balloon Security.
Okay.
And they were actually one of the companies in Microsoft Ventures Accelerator.
Nice.
And I found that company probably the most interesting out of the whole lot, because everybody was, again, was building a connected device of some sort. But Red Balloon Security, these are grads from Columbia University. They are building a really kick-ass security solution. And it goes straight, you know, they plant that security right on the manufacturing line. So it's super secure. They have a patented way of enabling security on the device. So it's another company to watch out how IoT is sort of being enabled in various ways.
Very cool. And you guys have some resources on windowsondevices.com? Yep.
So Windows on Devices is our website today where we talk to developers and makers. So keep track of the interesting hackathons and events coming up. So when you go to the news and events section, you can see that on windowsondevices.com. Our next major event is coming up in Shenzhen.
Yes.
It's called WinHack. So it's a Windows or Microsoft-wide event. And we're going to have a lot of content on IoT over there.
Yep.
So be sure to watch that out. And if you have a chance, please be there.
Yeah, I will see you there.
Fantastic.
Cool. So that's a great CES recap. You know, cool consumer stuff, makers, platforms, stuff that I love to talk about. But if you guys have stuff that you saw at CES 2015 that you thought was cool, please drop a comment and we'll catch you guys later.
Thanks.